Miscellaneous. That was correct. Start with staff report. We'll end with Gail. Start with Christina.
Robert?
Just to kind of follow the hazardous materials review, you know, the WIPAC project. It's been drafted with preparing for legal review, so we'll be coming back to the board.
Okay, any questions by the board on that review? Anything expect? Okay.
Got a little bit of a longer one here. Jeff's handing out a memo of current assessment of some personnel turnover at Angelo Gordon. We have noted a couple senior personnel turnover, and you'll recall that I updated the board on the passing of John Angelo in January. Another senior individual has now recently left, Larry Schloss. He was president of the firm, focused more on client service and strategic marketing, not on the investment side. But we're at the point where there's four senior level departures over the course of about 6 months. Obviously raises flags for us. I don't have a recommendation for the board right now. We're still in the investigation process there. We still have not spoken with the portfolio manager for real estate. We'll have that conversation tomorrow. Based upon the information we've received to date, we're not seeing an underlying cause to all of these individuals, but we're not seeing something that's driving people out en masse. But we are evaluating the collective impact of changes to the executive committee. And we're taking a look at this. We still want to talk with the real estate manager, understand the impact there, but we're not seeing any damage to the Energy Credit Opportunities Fund that we approved this summer. And to date, we haven't received any information on the real estate. So once we have information on the real estate, we'll come back to you if our assessment changes one way or the other. Veris has looked at this as well. They're saying, and Ed, I don't want to put words in your team's mouth, but basically executive management turnover, not investment strategy changes in leadership. So there's a question mark on overall direction of the firm. Our investments seem sound to date. We're going to continue the conversation, and the Angelo Gordon annual meeting is coming up in about 5 weeks, so it'll give us a chance to talk both with senior management and with other limited partners.
So Fuller, Martin, and Schloss, all members of the executive committee?
Yes.
How large is the Angelo Gordon executive committee?
I want to say, was it 9 or 8?
Something like
it
that, yeah.
Ranges generally 8, 9.
Yeah.
That's a fairly healthy turnover.
Which begs the question.
Yeah.
And we are asking the question of every single person we can get a hold of.
Right, understood.
Yep.
So just add some context to that. Angelo Gordon's had 9 senior investment professional departures in the past year. 6 voluntary, 3 involuntary. They have 148 investment professionals at the firm. It's a pretty large firm. So it's, while we're focusing on some individual names, and certainly the executive level is important to us, it's still a large organization going through some turnover. So we have it as an operational flag that we continue to monitor, but it is not something that we are saying, therefore, needs to be replaced or terminated or anything like that. So that's our.
But would it be premature? I know the recommendation is not to put them on a watch list, but this is, you know, this is one of the triggers for us, and these are pretty significant changes, and it might be worth, if Angelo Gordon doesn't have that understanding, that one of their clients has now put them on watch.
Well, remember, on the watch list, it kind of begs the question of what we can do for a watch list for a private investment, and we're candidly, I would not recommend watch list at this point. It's starting to, it's launching that line of inquiry, but we have not completed that line of inquiry, nor have we found anything that would cause us to question the implementation of our portfolios. But just understand that this, call it a yellow flag. I wanted to make you aware of it because when the president of a firm leaves, the title alone carries weight in the media, so you probably have seen something about that, or you might see something about that. That's why I'm bringing it to your attention right now. From an implementation of portfolio standpoint, president is really not a key individual there.
But I presumably they know that this is on our radar screen.
Oh, very much, yes.
Okay.
We've been, Jeff, how many hours have you been on the phone with them in the past week? Three, four?
It was interesting watching the what's happening with the energy market. The idea is that this creates a lot of opportunities for energy credit. And I'm thinking, man, it's a target-rich environment right now. And so to what extent, this is slightly off subject, but well, I guess it's not really not off subject, to what extent have there been calls on this particular investment strategy?
I'll let Jeff answer that. He's taking the point on that.
About 20% of the capital has been called. And to date, the purchases have been a handful of non-performing loan portfolios. But if you remember back to last June when we first brought this forward, the true drivers of success in energy and the way they're banked is how they value the reserves twice a year, typically in October and March and April. Last March and April was relatively quiet. This last October was a little less so. It's expected that the next revaluations that are happening right now through the middle of next month are going to be where the banks are really starting to pull away credit from the energy companies. I was actually in Angelo Gordon's offices about a month ago and spoke with Dave Kamen, and they're saying that they're starting to see who's one co-portfolio manager. They're starting to see a lot more distress now than what they even expected to see 6 months ago. So I think it is a target-rich environment and getting richer. I know that Todd Dittman, who is leading up the direct lending strategy, is seeing bigger deals come through than they even anticipated. If you remember back in June, the initial assessment was he was going to be focusing on the small and middle market, and he's now firmly in the middle market and growing. So I would say the opportunity set is getting better.
Something I read yesterday suggested some of the bigger banks, Bank of America in particular, have got, this is a real drag on their balance sheet right now. They've got a lot of, apparently, a high percentage of non-performing loans.
Yeah, and
that's one of the things that was mentioned is that banks are selling off a lot of these assets, hopefully before they get to a distress level, so it doesn't impact the bank balance sheet. They can sell it now. The distress really, though, is what people will pay for them as the banks sell them. So as the banks are selling off revolvers and other types of loans, that flow will probably beget some distress.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing about the way we structured this deal is we only pay on what's been called.
Yeah. I keep reminding myself as I'm reading all this stuff that this is actually what we were
hoping for.
Hoping was going to happen. Now it's happening.
That's it for investments.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
No report today. Thank you.
And Gail.
Just a few things. One, Sackers is May 10th, I believe it starts. There is an ethics session this time that we need to pre-register for. So if you're interested in attending the ethics session, make sure you let Cesara know so that we can schedule you for that. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just
saying. Oh, you're going to go. Oh, okay.
I shall be moderating it, so I'll be there.
I was going to say the moderator is going to be interesting this time.
Yeah, right.
What are you moderating?
The ethics one.
Oh. You're doing that?
They have them. Moderated. All I have to do is introduce the two speakers.
Yeah,
that's right.
To questions from the crowd.
Confirm that everything they say is accurate, of course.
No.
Also, there are some Cesara employees that are retiring. On March 1st, Marge Rosenberg retired after 4 years of service to Contra Costa County and 14 years with Cesara. She worked in the benefits department as an active member counselor. We also have Nanette Mendoza, who's an accounting specialist in our accounting department. She's retiring on March 31st after 27 years with Cesara. And Lori Giacomelli, retiring on April 2nd after 27 years with Cesara also. And she's in the benefits department as a retired member counselor. So we appreciate their long service. And also, unfortunately, I had sent you a notice earlier in the week on this, but one of our employees unexpectedly passed away over this past weekend, Sylvia Saramack. We actually had a representative from our employee assistance program out yesterday doing a voluntary group session and also one-on-one meetings with employees, and that went pretty well. So, yeah, I just wanted to inform you of that, and hopefully we can maybe close the meeting in her honor.
Yes.
Are we going to do anything for these two employees, especially that have 27 years plus? Or is there anything happening? Or can we recognize them at one of our meetings for their service?
So Sarah doesn't currently have a service recognition program in place. Now that we're our own employer, we can look at that and see, you know, do we want to do special things at 10 years, 15, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, at least a thank you. You know, bring them in and say thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Got to go 30 to get a watch.
Yeah. We've actually been talking about doing a program like that.
Are you in the process of recruiting for those positions where the people are retiring?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you in the process of recruiting for those positions?
We're taking a look at it. Fortunately, I don't know, a few months back, the benefits department was fully staffed for the first time in a really long time. And we're taking a look at some of the tasks and kind of assessing the area, and we'll go from there.
Got it.
And then we have started using NeoGov and doing our own recruitments. We did our first recruitment recently, and it's a very smooth process so far.
Okay.
Harvey, that's a professional comment.
One piece of information. This morning, the Illinois Supreme Court struck down the Chicago pension reform plan as an unconstitutional violation of members' vested rights.
Wow.
This was a plan by Rahm Emanuel to save the direly underfunded Chicago pension funds by increasing member contributions and decreasing COLAs. And the Supreme Court of Illinois ruled this morning that there was a constitutional violation of members' vested rights. So they'll be back to the drawing boards. Chicago pension funds are somewhere between 25% and 40% funded.
Wow.
And so they're in pretty dire straits. Not quite Puerto Rico status yet.
They're working on an honorable mention.
I've actually invited to the next NAPA conference, the National Pension Attorneys Conference. We're doing a panel, and I've invited the former administrator of the Puerto Rican Pension Fund to speak on our panel about fallout from that in Congress and whether they're going to let Puerto Rico have a mini Chapter 9 to be able to file bankruptcy without opening the doors to every state in the United States like Illinois to do the same thing. So it's a really interesting subject. But if you can't fund these underfunded systems by changing contributions or benefits, states and municipalities are pretty well tapped out.
Did the Supreme Court indicate that both the increase in contributions and reduction in COLA were unconstitutional, or just one of the two,
both?
Does that have an impact in other states?
Well, every state's constitution is a little bit different, but in many of the states they have the same, you can't impair the contract, you can't change the game out from under someone once they're a public employee, and that's the common thread that runs through all of them, whether it's California or Illinois or the other states. Michigan has a similar provision, so they're all different, but they're all based on that same idea that you enter into an employment contract and the game can't be changed on you on the eve of your retirement. So we'll see where it's the same collision course we've been on between vested rights and the public.
You see the future of somebody going federally up to the Supreme Court to get a decision?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Under the federal. California Supreme Court has ruled that our pension rights are the same as the rights in the federal contract clause. That's kind of questionable, but our Supreme Court said we see no difference in that.
Yeah.
Other state courts have seen a difference, that the federal law is more lax in terms of the ability to impair members' rights. But yeah, I definitely think I get to the Supreme Court, which is probably where it belongs. It's that contentious, and it needs a resolution. By the way, on our case that's challenging that here in California, our AB 197 case, the terminal pay case, if you will, has now been fully briefed, and I expect that we've been asked, all the parties have been asked last week whether they want oral argument. And of course, everybody says, yes, of course, we want to argue this thing. So I'm guessing we'll have a scheduled date in the Court of Appeals by Memorial Day, sometime in May. They're pretty well booked up now through April and the first week or so of May, but I think probably by Memorial Day we'll get on that calendar.
Where's that held up?
San Francisco.
It's one to watch.
Appeals. I'll let you know. Come out and watch.
Be fun to watch.
Interesting. Be a good show.
Okay. Trustee comments.
Form 700. Nobody in the county knows where these are supposed to be filed. The board, you probably all got a manila envelope from the elections department saying they need to be filed with the elections department. The board of supervisors, the clerk of the board of supervisors, I've spoken to a couple of times, and in previous years they were filed with the clerk of the board.
Right, but for Cicero, now that we're a separate agency,
they're not
supposed to be filed here.
It hasn't changed.
It's
in our conflict of interest code, which I can pull up. But for board members, board members file with the clerk of the board.
With the elections.
Elections department. That's where we turned them in.
Yeah, it goes to the elections.
No, but that's not what the clerk of the board is telling people.
What is the
The clerk of the board is telling people, for Cicero, they are still the depository, and same with county employees.
Okay.
Send it to everybody.
Send one to everybody.
It's ridiculous. Somebody needs to.
But I can check on that. But I mean,
for Cicero filers, it is the clerk of the board. For the board of retirement, it's elections. But for some of the Cicero staff and the money managers, it's the clerk of the board. So we have two different places that they go.
Okay.
Depending on what type of filer they are.
Well, but it goes to elections because they oversee. That's just very peculiar.
Can I fill out one and give it to you and make sure? Thank you.
I was going to say.
Because I file with everybody.
I've always filed.
They've all accepted it.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I always drop it off here and have them file it.
There you go.
I've done both. I've done both.
Yeah. Provided to Cicero, we'll make sure it goes to the right place.
That's what I wanted to hear.
We'll go to jail together.
Hey, we'll go to jail together. We have a board meeting.
and that is by March 31st.
April 1st.
April 1st. Yeah.
Okay. So. You should
by
have a
April
copy
1?
In your mailbox. Of,
and you can go online and do them if you don't want
right.
to.
No, you can't.
There's an interactive.
You can't file them online.
You can't file them online, but you can fill them out online
right.
and print them.
Right. I did that Sunday.
Well, your sister-in-law knows how to do them, Scott. Tell Lori to do it. She would be pleased to. I mean, she does all of mine.
All right. Any other trustee comments? I did.
Yeah, one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, too. The retiree support group reached a settlement agreement with the county regarding health care. And I was pleased that the board followed TWA's recommendation and went with the settlement. It looks like it's going to be a much better, at least it's going to give some guarantee to retirees that they will
get
have health care for the rest of their life. The cost may escalate. We're not sure, but at least that guarantee is there, which has been sought by a lot of other counties and not been granted. So we're very fortunate that it's happening in this county. And I think it's probably the first county that I'm aware of that has acknowledged it and guaranteed it. Of course, it's just a settlement agreement. It has to be mailed out to all of the retirees, and each will have a vote on it. But this is a huge step, and it's a great, great benefit to retirees.
Jerry, is the county going to pass an ordinance?
No, because
we'll continue. This only applies to existing retirees, and so any other discussion will go into MOUs, future labor discussions.
Right. There are exclusions. CalPERS is excluded.
The PDOC's excluded.
They're also because they already have some guarantees for medical benefits.
Right.
Will the supervisors pass a resolution approving the
We did that last week. We approved the settlement agreement, and now it's...
Because this is the first county that has...
Yeah, it's going back to federal court now, and then we'd amended the complaint to approve it to Judge Taggart.
So it's just, it's just a huge step, and we're thankful.
Right.
Hoping everything will be done by September.
I understand that Louie and Jerry have both been reelected by their employee groups, so
congratulations.
Yeah, pretty much. We elected.
Yeah, nobody ran against us.
They scared off the opposition.
No election, but there was no opposition.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. You're in order.
Well, we have a member of our Board of Supervisors who had a similar result.
That's true. I am running unopposed. Congratulations. I'm going to be sticking around for four more years.
Good.
Is Rusty running unopposed?
That's correct. I mean, but not this year. I think his was last year.
He's on the gubernatorial ballot, so he has two more years. But last time he ran unopposed.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Best wishes to Brian. He does have opposition.
He does.
if we may, closing today's meeting in memory of Sylvia Sermont, the employee who unexpectedly passed away, I'd like to propose.
I also move.
Second.
In the
form of a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Okay.